Today with Joseph Prince.
In spite of the fact you are unclean, there is sin in your life. Amen. You can receive healing. So that is something that people need to know. If only the church would rise up and tell people, you know what? Right now, if you reach out to Jesus, doesn't really matter whether you are dirty, unclean, whether you feel you have sinned, all right? You can receive your healing. In James, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things plus curses are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. So today I want to take my time to share with you things that the Lord has been showing me that I've not shared before, and I believe it's going to bless you because it's going to show you why some people don't receive from God, especially healing, and it'll show you where we have missed it. It will show you today, under this dispensation, how best to receive your healing. Amen? Now, it can be healing because the way you receive healing is the way you receive any other blessing or miracle from God. Can I have a good amen? And I think many today are missing it, not because there is no teaching of healing. In fact, there's a lot of teachings on healing, divine healing, beginning in the 70s. If you're in the charismatic circle or you've been saved then, you know that there's been abundance of teachings. However, with all the abundance of teachings, the body of Christ is still sick. All right? There's something that we are missing. And recently, the Lord began to speak to me about just a verse of Scripture. I will show you that phrase from that verse. It will jump out at you because I have chosen to highlight it. But for me, the Lord just gave me that phrase again and again until I began to see something I never saw before, okay? You ready for it? It's the passage of Jairus' daughter, Jairus, and the woman with the issue of blood, and ends with Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. Now, you all know I've touched on this, all right? But I've touched on the main points, but I want to go in detail. And I believe it's going to bless you. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, that passage is very important because it has been repeated 3 times in the Synoptic, in the Synoptic Gospels. In fact, the Synoptic Gospels are the 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So once a miracle or a story is repeated 3 times in the Synoptic Gospels, then you know that the Holy Spirit is trying or endeavoring to bring across or to convey an important truth to His people. Amen. So it's not just one gospel, but I've chosen to use the Gospel of Mark because of its detailed account, as well as its placement, all right? It is the only gospel that is in chronological order. All right. For example, when I preach on Luke 18 and 19, the rich young ruler, all right, giving under law, giving under grace. Rich young ruler under law cannot give. Zacchaeus was given grace. Jesus gave law to the rich young ruler. He can hardly give anything. Luke 18. The next chapter, Luke 19, Jesus gave grace, no law. And Zacchaeus gave almost everything. So we see law and grace put side by side. But actually, the stories did not happen side by side. So Luke is put in such a way that there is a divine order, just like John. But if you want to find chronological order, you must go to the Gospel of Mark. All right? So, the reason I chose Mark, because like I said just now, this account is in detail. Are you ready?
Yes.
Mark chapter 5. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. Say, Jairus. And when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. You all know how old she was? 12 years old. And so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And then a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had suffered many things from many physicians. Now, when I talk about physicians from this passage here, I want you to think of Jewish physicians, all right, who are religious physicians. Many of them, I read the background of these physicians. They are not doctors like you would think of doctors today in the hospitals, in the clinics. Amen. Where they use medicine and all that to help suffering humanity. These physicians, all right, albeit their motives are good and all that, but they use the law. And not only the law, they use rabbinical tradition. And I've read the way they, like for example, you got a cough, they'll take this kind of mixture from this leaf and then this thing, and then you're supposed to give up this and do this, and you are supposed not to eat for certain days, and you're supposed to sleep on the right side for a few days, and then all kinds of rituals. Amen. Plus the things they eat, it's really horrible, you know. It's like the dust that they put on it because they are superstitious over almost everything. So this poor girl, she suffered many things from many physicians. Notice the word suffered. But nonetheless, we can use the principle. Let's say you got a chronic disease and you have gone to many doctors and you're not better, you are worse. All right? We can use this principle, of course. But remember, this lady was a Jewish lady, and the doctors are Jewish doctors with a rabbinical background. Amen. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Truth is on the side of grace, not law and truth came by Moses. All right? The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth are together. They came by Jesus Christ. The truth that sets us free, Jesus was talking to the Jewish people of his day who knew the law. They don't have to be taught the law. They were taught the law ever since they were babies. And I'm referring to really babies. They are taught the law. Whether they can understand, they don't understand, all right, the rabbis would insist on quoting scriptures to them. Amen. So when Jesus saw the Jews of his day and he said, if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free is the truth of God's grace, which Jesus brought. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So now she has spent all her money. She's poor, right? So she's sick. Not only sick, she's very sick. She began sick. Then she went to other doctors. They cannot cure. They say that your case is because you have not kept this or you've done that, blah, 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 blah. And now she's sicker. And not only that, poorer. Because every time you go to a doctor, I'm referring to the doctor of that time as well, all right? There's money spent, amen? All right, she's now poorer and sicker. And verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, that's the phrase that came out at me recently. And the Lord began to tell me, everywhere I turned, I would hear, she heard about Jesus. And I said, I know about that. I've shared that with my church. You ever had this attitude where you say that, Lord, I can expound that passage, Lord? And he doesn't say anything. And the Lord just, after for a while, he will show it to me again. When she heard about Jesus, I said, yeah, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and 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 hearing, by the word of God. Amen. I've got it memorized down to pat, man. I know it front, back, can quote it with my eyes closed. When I'm sleeping, it comes out. I'm a word of faith man, man. Amen? We all know that, right? Faith cometh by hearing. So I told the Lord, I know that. And the Lord says, nothing. A few days after that, I was doing something else, and I saw this verse. When she heard about Jesus. And like a flash, I realized, she heard something about Jesus. Because whatever she heard, let me tell you this, caused her to receive. The multitude touched Jesus, the word thronging. They were all thronging Jesus, we read that just now. None of them received, as far as we know. Whatever she heard caused her to receive. And she didn't hear Jesus. Many people, they came to hear and be healed. We all know the saying, hear and be healed. They heard Jesus themselves, and they were healed. They heard Jesus on the mountainside preaching, and they were healed. And they heard and they were healed. And they heard and they were healed. But that's hearing Jesus directly. This woman heard about. Does not say when she heard Jesus. It says she heard concerning Jesus. Now, why is that important? You know, when the Lord opened my eyes, let me tell you this. I was very glad He loves people. God loves people. How many know that? You know, he tells me that there are a lot of people who look at the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they look at all the people and say, how I wish I can hear Jesus with my ears. How I wish I was there, I can see Him with my eyes and hear Him with my ears and shake hands with Him. I know if I just shake hands with Him, I'm okay. If only I can hear Jesus' voice, how His voice sounds like. Oh, don't you know? Every Sunday you've been hearing it. You know? Of course, Jesus has to speak through me, amen? Okay, He sounds better, of course. His voice like the sound of many waters, amen? The Bible says it like that. Okay. So, why does that encourage us? Because all of us today, we heard about Jesus. I know some people get really super spiritual, and Pastor Prince, don't you know I hear Jesus' voice inside here? I also hear. What do you think? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about most of us here, I'm speaking just in the natural, most of us, we heard about Jesus from somebody. Maybe a schoolmate, you know, maybe a relative, maybe in church, in a gospel meeting, whatever it was, or a tape in the past, whatever it was, you heard about. You didn't hear Jesus directly. Somebody preached about Jesus. So what is it that she heard about Jesus? I'll tell you something. Whatever she heard about Jesus is definitely not the law. Thank God she didn't attend some churches today. I said some, not all. All right? Because if she attended some of the things that we hear today about how you must qualify for the healing, she would never have been able to receive a healing. Let me show you what her background, her Jewish upbringing, plus the law of Moses states about her condition. She was bleeding. The Bible says she has been bleeding for 12 years. She has an issue of blood for 12 years. In Leviticus 15, it says if a woman has a discharge, y'all don't mind me sharing, huh? Just remember that the Bible says the word of the Lord is pure. So your mind must be pure. If you say, Pastor, why you share this kind of thing? It's your problem, not me. I can just read it and have no, you know, to the pure, all things are pure, the Bible says. But to those whose conscience and minds are defiled, nothing is pure. Right, Mark? Nothing. All right? If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Now, the rest of the verses tells us she cannot do this, she cannot do that. Everywhere she goes is unclean. Everything she touches is unclean. Wherever she sits is unclean. And then let's drop down to all the verses before that talks about what she cannot do and how unclean she is. Then it says in verse 25, if a woman has a discharge of blood, like this woman we are talking about, for many days, other than at the time of a customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, like she is suffering for 12 years, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of a customary impurity. She shall be unclean. And the verses before this, verse 24, 23, 22, all the way from the verse 19 just now you saw, all right, all talks about what she cannot do. So whatever she heard caused her, don't forget she was very weak. She was very weak. Why? The Bible says she grew worse after seeing so many physicians, and she did all kinds of treatment, all right? She you know, the treatment can cause you to have diarrhea and all kinds, and you're worse. And she's poor, and there's a crowd around Jesus. So in her poor, weakened state, all right, she was able to push through. Whatever she heard must not have been this loss. Because her upbringing would tell her she's disqualified. She cannot, let alone touch the people, you know, she'll be averse to being in public during, for her case, it's 12 years already. But she'll be averse. In fact, if she believes she's defiling everybody, there'll be no faith to receive from Jesus. So whatever she heard, we need to hear today that people can receive. And I submit to you right now because of time. She heard that in spite of the fact you are unclean, there is sin in your life. Amen. You can receive healing. So that is something that people need to know. If only the church would rise up and tell people, you know what? Right now, if you reach out to Jesus, doesn't really matter whether you are dirty, unclean, whether you feel you have sinned, all right? You can receive your healing. The ones who cannot receive are the Pharisees who believe you must do certain things, then you can receive. I showed you the other day about this guy who had a, he was the pastor. Okay, he's the ruler of the synagogue, but he's a pastor, so to speak, back then, of his church. And there was a lady bowed down for 18 years in his congregation, right? Jesus came and Jesus set her free. And he was so mad, he was indignant. Not that she was healed, but that she was healed on the Sabbath day. Duh! Your church member got healed. Now she can help serve as an usher. And you are angry and you say things like this. There are 6 days men ought to work. You see, that rationale came from the law. There are 6 days men ought to work. In them come and be healed. Well, you smart aleck, if there are 6 days men can be healed, how come she's not healed in your congregation? Because under the law, no one can be healed. All those who were healed, even the Old Testament, were by grace. Are you listening? I'm going to show you a verse of scripture that is amazing. You hardly hear this passage preach. I preached this in 2003, one whole sermon on it. All right? But I still think that it is still under-preached. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Say no effect. Is that good or bad? Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. We read like this. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whoever of you sin. But it doesn't say that. It says, whosoever of you are justified by the law, by your obedience to laws, rules, you think you, because you do this, you kept this, then now Christ is obliged. No way. That's not grace. In fact, you have fallen from grace. Always remember, those of you who are trying to be justified by the law, notice that you are fallen from grace. That means what? Grace is higher than law. Those who go to the law fall from grace. Look at me. If you go to the law, you fall from grace. Grace is higher. Okay? So what she heard was this. Let's say her name is Rebecca. That's a Jewish name. She's Jewish, they call it Rivka. Rivka, Rivka! There is a, the Messiah is in town again. You know the last time? This man was sinful. And yet he received. Remember the leper when he came down the mountain? Tell me about it, Rivka said. Well, the leper, he touched the leper and he was healed. What are you saying? What are you saying? You're saying that there is a rabbi in town that even though you are sinful, if you touch him, you'll be well? He says, yes, that's what I'm saying. No. Yes. No. Yes. Because she has been through recommendation, this doctor is good. She suffered many physicians, the Bible says. So you can imagine the response. You know, you use your imagination when you read the Bible. So you don't have, I supply you some. So what she heard is not what an average church today is preaching about healing. We should preach, even though there is sin in your life, you can receive. And when you receive, it will transform you and swallow up your sin.
Amen.
In James, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It's all in the same anointing that heals, the same anointing removes sins. Amen. But here we have a qualify yourself Wash yourself before you receive healing from Jesus. And people are kept in the distance and longing to receive. No, you must tell them, come with your sins, come with your burdens, come with your problems. He will wash it out of you. Amen. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a teaching in the Old Testament. It says, the fathers ate sour grapes, the children's mouth, the teeth are set on edge. And that's why at the cross, Jesus took the sour wine. The picture of sour grapes, sour wine is ancestral curse that comes to your children. We are no more under the ancestral curse. Amen. Are you listening? But the more you believe that teaching, the more you believe it, the devil can actually, through your unbelief, which is reverse faith, and force some things in your life and make you believe that you cannot but receive it. But we say, in Jesus' name, we refuse to accept it. We are redeemed. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things plus curses are passed away. Amen. All things have become new. Go back again to the story, all right? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you? You see, people are pressing on Jesus. And no one made a demand on the power. Another thing, you know what the Lord said to me? Son, you need to teach this to the people, because she was the only one who received without Jesus realizing at first. In other words, active receiving. Okay? Say active.
Active.
All right. Passive receiving are all those in the other part of the Gospels. Amen? All of them, you know, they will come to Jesus. The leper will come. If you are willing, you can make me clean. They wait for Jesus to say, be cleansed. They wait for Jesus to touch. Even Jairus in this story is waiting for Jesus to come to his house and lay hands on his daughter. All of them have passive healing. They're waiting for Jesus to speak the word. But if you apply all the stories to our people today, they are saying, how can I have the Lord speak the word? How do I get the Lord to speak the word? Where can I go? He's in heaven today, bodily. So the Lord says, teach my people. Because this woman received without Jesus' initiative. She initiated her healing. I said she initiated her healing. So the multitude was thronging Jesus, and he said, who touched me? He looked around to see her who had done this thing next. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith. You see, that's why Jesus wants me to teach this to all of you. Because this woman is like us today. Amen. God's power is there. God's power is always available, but can we initiate our healing? Can we be an active recipient? If you compare yourself with other people in Galilee, in Capernaum, in Jerusalem that receive, they had Jesus telling them, do something. They had Jesus spitting on the ground, making clay. They had Jesus commanding them, rise, take up your bed and walk. But if those circumstances are not there for us today, this woman's story is more than enough to tell us that you can receive. And you know what he will do? He will stop, turn around and say, wow, who was that? Who was that? And Peter says, the disciple says, the multitudes are thronging you, and you ask, who touched you? So there are those who come to church, everyone is touching Jesus in a sense, you know. They are lifting their hands. You know how many people touch the anointing when the worship is going on, the worship leader is leading you in the Holy of Holies and you're worshiping God. You know, there's anointing all around. But many of you are not translating it into something that you can receive now. But I've not learned enough. You're disqualifying yourself. But Pastor, I mess up this morning. You are disqualifying yourself. And you can touch the anointing and nothing will happen. The multitude touched the anointed and nothing happened. There's something I want to show you that I haven't shown you before. Let me tell you what they had. Where's the prayer cloth? Pass me the prayer cloth. Okay. Now, Jesus, like any rabbi, he'll be wearing this, okay? But please don't go and buy this. I'm just illustrating to you. You know, I got to say it straight away, you see? You know, because I might not have time to tell you afterwards. Don't go and buy this and say, oh, I touched this. You know, nothing will happen. You know what Jesus said? You know what the Pharisees did? The Pharisees make broad. They have a big phylactery. All right? The phylacteries, they really make it big. All right? And long, very long. All right? So Jesus, like any Jewish child, all right, growing up, they'll be taught about the tassel in Numbers 15. Numbers 15, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corner. So have you noticed that today there's no blue thread? It's all white. You go to any Jewish house and they have this, right? Or you see the rabbi wearing it, there's no blue thread. You know why? Ever since the temple was burned and all that, they said that they even lost the formula for making the blue. But the thing is this, to me it's parabolic. All right, it's parabolic. Ever since the nation rejected their Messiah, blue, the color of grace, disappeared. And the temple went in flames. They were scattered amongst the nation for 2,000 years. But I got good news for you. Do you know that they found the formula for the blue? And do you know that it's during the time when Israel, many people in Israel are getting saved. The blue is coming back. And some rabbis today has a blue. It's called the tekelet. Tekelet means blue. All right? She touched the hem of his garment. In other gospels, the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. All right? The hem is the tekelet, where God commands, Numbers 15, that every Jewish male must have. So he was wearing this. All right? And when he walked, it's like... I should have a fan up here. Amen? You know, it was blowing by the Sea of Galilee, and the woman came and touched the blue, and she was healed. But the Pharisees have blue. People touch it, nothing will happen. So what is the difference? I'll tell you something about the mystery of the blue, okay? It says that, next verse 39, you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments. Now, this is under the old covenant. That's why the Pharisees wear it, to remind them of the covenant. But there's a deeper truth here. I'm going to show you something real fast in the Hebrew. Want to learn? Real fast in Hebrew. Okay, go to the Hebrew. All right? This is in Hebrew. Okay? Hebrew reads from right to left. Okay? And it shall be unto you for a fringe. Read from right to left. That you may look upon it and remember Aleph Tav. Can you see the red? The red is Aleph, the red letter on the right, and Tav on the left. You must get my teaching on Aleph Tav. It is the signature of Jesus Christ. It is not translated. Have you noticed? Because all the Jewish people do not know how to translate it. They do not know why the Bible has Aleph Tav there. That you will look upon it and remember Aleph Tav. Not the commandments. Because if the commandments, she will not be out there. She cannot be out there. It will condemn her. The law condemns her. Amen. So the blue reminds her of the heavenly Jesus. The grace of God. God actually meant for the blue, when people are discouraged, they stop looking to heaven, stop looking at the blue heaven, they start getting discouraged, they will still see blue. Amen? God wants grace. God doesn't want law. And even here, you find Aleph Tav is mentioned. Like, for example, Genesis 1:1, you find, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is this God who created the heavens and the earth? He put his signature there. That's not translated in the Hebrew. In the beginning, created God, Aleph Tav, Jesus Christ. How do I know Aleph Tav is Jesus? Because Jesus appeared in the book of Revelation to John, his disciple, and says, I am Alpha and Omega. But Alpha and Omega are the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. If Jesus spoke to his fellow Jew, he will not be speaking Greek. He'll be speaking Hebrew. Hebrew, the first letter and the last letter is, I am Aleph and I am Tav. This is the first letter on the right, like an N, and Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The signature of Jesus. I am the first, and I'm the one who has the first word in your situation, and I'm the one who has the final word about your body, about your family, about your eternity. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So, this is the prayer cloth. Now, I'll show you something else that in the book of Malachi. Now, I believe that the lady, what made her touch the hem? That takes revelation. That takes revelation. Are you listening? And I believe that when you hear the scriptures, it's something very profound. If he is the Messiah, something about his zit, they call it. All right? They call this wings in Hebrew, sanaf. All right, the whole thing here, all right, zit, or they call it wings, the borders of the garment. Wings, borders is like wings at the border. Okay? Watch this in Malachi, Old Testament scripture. The last chapter of the entire Old Testament says, but to you who fear my name, the sun, it'll be so bright. Sun of what? Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Healing in his wings. Do you know that nobody ever touched Jesus' wings here ever before? Kanaf in Hebrew, wings. So, Jewish rabbis tell us that this verse, they interpret this verse as the tekelet, the blue, healing in his wings. So they say when the Messiah comes, he will have healing in his wings. So she heard that this man receives sinners, and she says, he's the Messiah. If he's the Messiah, I'm quite weak. I can't push all the way where I can touch his physical body, even his wings that fly. If I can just touch. If he's a Messiah, he will arise with healing in his wings. And Singaporeans, you shall go out and grow fat. Like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Amen? Amen? All right. Let's go back to the story again. Praise God. Tekelet, by the way, the blue spells like this, the blue thread. Tekelet. Tekelet is from kala, the root word. Kala, which means perfection or completeness. She touched the blue. The blue in Hebrew is tekelet. Tekelet is a noun. It comes from the root word kala. Why is this important? Because the verb is used by Jesus in Hebrew. When Jesus hang on the cross, your English Bible says what? It is finished! Right? But Jesus did not cry out in Greek or in English. He cried out in Aramaic. All right? He'll cry out these words. And you find a Jewish Bible. When I was in Israel, I purposely asked my Jewish believers, my friends who are Jewish believers, can I see your Bible in Hebrew? Can you find for me where it says Jesus Christ, it is finished? It's all in Hebrew. And they came to the part that says, what did he say? And they said, he shouted, Kula! Kula is from Kala. Kula is the verb. So Jesus literally cried, finish! Your sins forgiven, your diseases are healed. She didn't even know all these things. I don't believe she knew all these things, but you know what? When she, the fact that she touched the hem of his garment is because she's probably very weak already. All right? And she's going like this. Plus, but not weak enough not to push herself through. How desperate are you? Sometimes you must press through. You know, the old King James says, she pressed through the press. They call the multitude the press. Nothing to do with the media. Sometimes there's a crowd, you know, all kinds of voices. There'll be people telling you, hey, you're not supposed to be here or whatever. But she pressed through because she believed in a Messiah that would heal her in spite of her imperfection. Even though there's sin in my life, if I just reach out in faith and receive. And that tells us that faith is not made void by sin. I repeat, faith is not made void by sin. Because actually she sinned against the law of Moses that we read just now, Leviticus 15. But you know what? Sin does not make void your faith. Romans 4 tells us, if those who are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. What voids faith? If those of the law inherit. If you are of the law and you can receive, there's no need for faith. I said there's no need for faith. If you can perform well enough and then receive your healing, why do you need faith? I repeat, think carefully. If you can perform well enough before God and then receive your healing because you perform well enough, there is no need for faith. But when you know you are imperfect in your actions, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, all you need is faith. Only belief. Let's go on. Praise God. So hallelujah, she received. Now, I want to show you something. Isaiah 61. We all know that we are wearing what? Righteousness. Amen? Can I have a good amen? Amen. All right? Before we look at Isaiah 61, I want to show you Isaiah 64 first. Isaiah 64 says, we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. All our righteousness. Now, did not say our sins are like filthy rags. It says our righteousnesses, our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. Okay? Not sins. our righteousnesses, our own righteousness, before God is like filthy rags. Filthy rags in Hebrew is soiled sanitary napkin. Okay? Now, how do I know that all this coming to play in the story here is because this woman was bleeding for 12 years. As long as she bleeds, by the way, she's a picture of the church. As long as the church is bleeding, because the Bible always typifies the church as a woman, the bride of Christ. As long as she's bleeding, she cannot have children. There'll be no fruit. She will always have to have filthy rags. She will always have to have, literally in the Hebrew, filthy rags refers to menstrual cloth that is already soiled. She will always have that. It's a picture of what? The church is bleeding because of self-righteousness, not because of sin. Amen. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Amen. So listen, church. The church is suffering today not because of sin. They are suffering because of self-righteousness. Amen. So when she touched Jesus' clothes, his clothes is a picture of what? The righteousness of God, Isaiah 61. Real quick, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me, pass me the garments, with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Okay? Now, it's white. Okay? The robe of righteousness. Now, I'm not saying this is the robe of righteousness. Please don't go and buy it. Okay? But I'm just showing you something on the, do you know that this is talking about the bridegroom and the bride at the end? He has covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom, say bridegroom, decks himself with ornaments as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So it's a wedding day. Those who have the robe of righteousness is like those on their wedding day. Okay? They look like a bridegroom. Do you know when you attend a Jewish wedding, do you see this? Yes, you see this. All right, they'll wear this. Amen. Okay, I'm going to show you something right now. You ready for more? He has covered me. Now, why do you say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What the old song? Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice. And people asking the question, what do I'm rejoicing for? I don't know why. I owe the bank. My son is sick, My wife just scolded me, rejoice in the Lord. So people are wondering, what do we rejoice in the Lord for? For what? And this is a passage that tells you why you rejoice in the Lord. It tells you, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As the bridegroom decks himself. Now, this robe of righteousness is his because our righteousness is filthy rags. Yep. So the woman touched Jesus' righteousness and her bleeding stopped. Amen. The moment you touch Jesus' righteousness, the moment you submit to Jesus' righteousness, the moment you receive the gift of righteousness, your unfruitfulness stops. Your disease is healed. You are fruitful again. Are you listening?
Yes.
Amen? So he has given us the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself, say adorns, with her jewels. I'm going to tell you something real, real. You want an extra thing because of time. I'm going to tell you real quick. You know, how many want to be young? You know, Psalms 103 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth... Okay, your quote for me. Who satisfies so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Like the eagles is a literal renewal. All right? The eagle is one of the species that can actually renew its youth. All right? Now watch this, huh? Watch this. The word satisfies your mouth. I have told you before, I've gone to Israel. I've asked some of the best, those I esteem as scholars of the Bible. I've asked them, you know, in my own studies, it's not the word mouth there, who satisfies your mouth. Mouth should be pe in Hebrew. But here it says adi. So I said, why they translate as mouth? I asked Aria, asked a few people, and they were also puzzled that, yeah, it's not the word mouth. Why did the translators put "who satisfies your mouth"? It can be used as a mouth in figurative speech, we understand that. But what is Adi? Adi literally means ornaments. And if you do a search, you find exactly the word Adi in its form as a verb appearing here. As a bride adorns, the word adorns is Adi. So in other words, look up here. It's saying, God will satisfy your adorning and make you so beautiful that literally He renews your youth like the eagles. When you put on the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. Amen. You look like a, for males, you look like a bridegroom decked with his ornaments. Decked. I'm saying decked. And ladies, you look like, when you put on your robe of righteousness, you look like a bride. Thank God doesn't say wife. Because many wives don't look like the way they look when they were a bride. So it says, you look your best, man. Ladies, you look your best, ladies. You look like a bride adorned with her jewels. Amen. The guy is decked with ornaments as a groom, and she, you know, I love the way the Bible says things. Like, for example, God says the way He rejoiced over His people, as the bridegroom rejoiced over his bride, Isaiah as well, so the Lord rejoices over His people. You know, the kind of rejoicing a bridegroom rejoices over his bride is very fresh. So the Lord is saying He's always fresh in His love for us. It doesn't say, as the husband rejoiced over his wife. Because many a times, sadly, not supposed to be, I know, but it's not as rejoicing as the day they got married. No, I'm just teasing, okay? I pray in Jesus' name that the dew and the refreshing of your wedding day come back and be restored in Jesus' name. I'm just showing you, God has His reason for illustrating the wedding day, the wedding night, the rejoicing one has for another compared to. All right. In other words, He's saying, my love for you never grows stale. My love for you never grows old. It's like the first day I married you. Amen? Amen? Oh, amen. Here, see, I can preach a lot more down here. No, I can go into marriage, really. But time will bring us back to the story. We have to bring this to a close. The God of your faith has made you well. So how does the church, if she's a picture of the church, every story in the Bible is multidimensional. You can read it and find the story about a woman who got healed. All right? Natural story. You can read it and find secrets of the future of the church and what God is doing. Because all the miracles, the Bible says, are written for signs. The Gospel of John says that these things are written that you might believe. And they are signs. Okay? So God chose His miracles to put in this book very carefully for a reason. So this story here, the woman has been bleeding for years. As long as she's bleeding, she cannot have results. She cannot have children. She can evangelize all she wants, there'll be nothing. Why? She's trusting her own righteousness. So people look at New Creation Church and they wonder, how come we can be so fruitful? People want to get saved in this church. People want to come to the church. Amen. And the answer is grace. Amen. It is the grace of God. These people have touched righteousness. So their unfruitfulness has stopped. And as a result, many children are coming. Amen? Amen, amen, church? Amen. And they are whole, becoming whole. Praise the Lord. Now, many of you, some of you, I'm sharing this because the church I speak about just now of New Creation is a general blessing I'm talking about. Many of you are smack dab in the middle of that blessing. But you may believe in your own righteousness. You may believe and still, collectively, we're still enjoying the corporate blessings because this church, majority of people believe what I'm teaching. But there can be those who are enjoying the overflow of others. So they only feel good when they come to church. They don't feel good when they are not in church. And I will question what they believe. Because you can actually enjoy the overflow of others. Can I have a good amen? Amen. All right. She is now healed. She is now whole. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. He calls her daughter. Whatever ideas she had, I told you before, she wanted to take from the back of Jesus, and that's how Moses would have it, right? Moses was satisfied because Moses cannot see God's face under the law. God said, you cannot see my face. I only show you my back parts. All right? Amen? Remember the story there? But Jesus has come to show us his face because we are under grace. Amen. And when you saw his face, his first words were, "Daughter, Jessica." He's an intimate daughter. Jessica, by the way, is my daughter. Daughter. What an intimate term. She was fearful. She knew she got healed. Another thing the Lord wants me to tell you is this. All she knew when she heard concerning Jesus was this: in spite of your sin, you can receive. That's why she pushed away. No, even she was weak, she pushed away, right? But another thing I must tell you is this. Her faith wasn't perfect, right? It wasn't perfect. She came from behind. Right? It wasn't perfect. She did not know Jesus personally. She knew that you can receive from this. She knew he was wonderful enough not to condemn her. But still, she did not know him. So this idea about you must know him, you must seek his face, and then you can be healed, it's not true. Many a times you get healed first, then he show you his face. That's how you find his face. And then he tells her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And you all heard me share this before in my teaching on stress and all that. Literally in the Greek, it's not "go in peace." In the Greek, it's "go into peace." Go into peace. Go into the realm of peace. And be whole or be healed of your affliction. Literally it's remain healed of your affliction. The word affliction is scourge. Do you know that? It's the same word used for scourging Jesus. Pilate scourged Jesus. The same word is used here. Be healed of your scourge. You know how she was healed finally? You know where the price was paid? By Jesus' own scourging. By his stripe, we are healed. Amen. You see, the moment the scourge fell on Jesus, the scourge fell off you. Amen. Today we use the word. Today the scourge of H1N1 is in the world. You know, people use this kind of term. All right, you find this in the media, the scourge of malaria, the scourge of dengue. Use the word scourge. It's interesting, you know, that God has allowed them to use that word to remind them his son was scourged to remove all scourge. The scourge fell on his son so that the scourge will be removed from you. Amen, amen, church? Okay, let's finish off. Verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." I'll tell you something. He was on his way to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, right? Can I tell you something? I believe Jesus' heart is for the young generation, the Benjamin generation, all right? And along the way, including me, you know, along the way, along the way to heal and to raise the Benjamin generation, along the way to raise this new generation, she was only 12 years of age, all right? The church got healed. The church is healed to touch the new generation, all right? So once the church is healed of her self-righteousness, she is healed of her unfruitfulness, she is healed of her disease, she becomes fruitful, something happens to the young generation. All right, and the only way this thing can come about is not by works. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, only believe." The life of grace is, "Don't be afraid, only believe." But Pastor, you don't understand now. This just now, I lost my cool. Don't be afraid, only believe. In everything in the Christian life is, "Don't be afraid, only believe." You don't understand. The financial meltdown might get worse. Don't be afraid, only believe that God will supply for you. God will help you. God will give you breakthroughs. Amen. Don't be afraid, only believe. Not only perform, not only work, but only believe. Amen. Only believe. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Peter means stone. James, the name James means replace, supplant. John means grace. When you put these people out, all right, bring in the law, the stone has been replaced by grace. Amen. Only then the young generation will rise up. Only if someone preached the stone, the law has been replaced by grace, will we see the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. Amen. We know she's a symbol because 12 years. That tells us what? It is a generation, an administration, a tribe. Like the woman was suffering for 12 years. That tells us it's a church, number 12. You see, all this have that meaning. And go back to verse 41. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Pass me that again. Okay, watch this now. Trying to find someone. Hee-jun, come, Hee-jun. The young generation. I look at Mark then, I think, okay, never mind, it's okay. Okay, sit down here. Okay, lie down, Laura. Can you lie down? Like this here? Yeah. So this is a woman, okay? Sorry, it's a girl, 12-year-old girl. All right? Now I'll tell you something, listen. The Bible, whenever the Bible says, the Bible quotes Jesus, and then it leaves the Aramaic there. There's a reason. Even though your English says, little girl, I say to you, arise, that's the gist. That's the idea. It's not the literal interpretation. Whenever it leaves the Aramaic there, there's no such thing as a superfluous information. You know why? Because the Jewish people call this talit, the entire thing. The H is called, the blue is called tekelet. All the strings is called zitzit or wings. The entire thing is called talit. Today, when you go to Israel, usually they won't say zitzit or whatever, they just say talit. This is talit. Talita. Talita. It's literally like this. All right? He took his robe of righteousness and it says, he did this. Talita. Girl under the talit. Girl under the talit. Arise. In other words, thank you. In other words, don't forget, don't go out here and buy this. Nothing will happen. This is a symbol of righteousness. What Jesus did was he took his talit, literally talit, and we have established that this is the picture of the robe of righteousness. Right? Right? And he threw it over the girl and says, Talitha. Girl under the talit. Talitha means, it's a feminine of talit. Girl under the talit. Kumi, arise. We got to throw the righteousness of God over the young generation. Amen. Not the law of God, the grace of God. Amen. The robe of righteousness. And you know what? They will rise, hallelujah. Amen. They will stand tall. They will come to the stature, the fullness of Christ. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. This young generation can also refer to, this young girl can also refer to Israel, new Israel, young Israel, the new generation. Because don't forget, in the beginning, who was the one that came to Jesus? Jairus. His name in Hebrew is Yair. Yair means the one who is enlightened. The one who has been enlightened. That means in the end times, all the rabbis, the older ones, Jairus generation, their eyes were open. And they invite Jesus to touch their new generation. Amen. So you can refer to young generation of the Gentiles all over the world, and also you can refer to Israel because of Jairus. And he was the ruler of the synagogue. In the end times, even the rulers are the ones that make it especially special. All right? Give a royal welcome for Jesus as the Messiah. And you see their young generation will rise up. All the Tel Aviv rockers will be saved. Amen. Amen. Now after, now church, they are saved already. I said they are saved. They are gloriously saved, many of them. They know that they are clothed with a robe of righteousness that keeps them young. Renewed in youth like the eagles. What do they need? Does it end here? No. Verse 42. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. After you have been raised from the dead, he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Say, eat.
Eat.
I'll close with this. Hebrews, book of Hebrews. Hebrews 5. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word or teaching of righteousness, for he is a babe. Whenever someone hears righteousness and they think right doing, they're a baby. They don't understand righteousness. Whenever someone hears the word righteousness or the teaching righteousness and they say the gift of God, they are more than a babe. They are maturing. I'm here to tell you this, church. This is the gospel. Amen. You can know the Bible inside out. You don't understand righteousness, you're a babe. Amen. Are you listening? The Bible says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. In other words, solid food are those who understand the word of. There is a gift. It's not something you work for. If you work for it, all your righteousness are as filthy rags. It's a gift that will cause you to reign in life. Amen. Amen. And you'll be able to discern, not know. This is not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not knowledge, but discerning good and evil. You will discern good and evil because you are mature. Now go back to the story, ends like this. He commanded something should be given her to eat, not drink. Milk you drink. Solid food is those who understand righteousness. Those who don't understand righteousness, they still partake of milk. And I'm here to tell you, church, it is because the devil is so afraid you receive abundance of grace, you receive the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that, and I'm saying this in closing, that at the end, the young girl is eating. Maybe the reason why she died has got to do with something about what she ate. We do not know. But we do know the story ends with, make sure she eats, not drink. Maybe the church is dying because we've been on milk, 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 milk. But the funny thing, you know what is it? Is that they teach grace is milk. After you understand grace, you're saved by grace, you must go on to the law. That is going backwards. That is going to the Old Testament. No, those are the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Grace makes you mature. Do you remember Isaac? The Bible says his half-brother, Ishmael, persecuted him on the day that he was weaned. That means the day, about 2 years old, the day that he stopped drinking milk. All right, the Jewish age of weaning is about 2 years old. The day he stopped drinking, that was the day he matured, start eating solid food. That was the day his half-brother persecuted him. And in Galatians, it says that half-brother have the same father, not the same mother. Ishmael's mother is an Egyptian called Hagar. Say Hagar. Who is Isaac's mother? Sarah. Say Sarah. Sarah. Both have the same father, Abraham. The Bible says that Hagar is a picture of Mount Sinai. All this is not my revelation. It is Paul's revelation. He says these two women are two allegories of two covenants. One is Hagar is Mount Sinai, from where you get the Ten Commandments, which produces bondage. Sarah is a picture of the New Jerusalem, which produced freedom, the New Covenant, law and grace. Okay? Today, there are Christians, they have the same Heavenly Father, just like Isaac and Ishmael, they both have the same same father, Abraham. But Ishmael's mother was law. Isaac's mother is Sarah, grace. So today, just like Ishmael, who has a mixture of law and grace, persecute the child of complete grace. The Bible says, he that is born of the flesh, persecute him that's born of the spirit. The same thing is happening today. And when it's happening, you know why it's happening? Because the church is maturing. The church is winning. The church is beginning to realize, we've been drinking milk and not solid food. And you know what? Isaac is maturing. Isaac is inheriting. And all of a sudden, Ishmael is afraid. Ishmael wants to persecute Isaac. Isaac never persecuted Ishmael. Isaac never write blocks against Ishmael. Amen. Isaac just cool. You know why? Because the word has been given. Isaac will inherit. Amen. Those who are under law is struggling. Those under grace is inheriting.
Amen.
Let me close by saying this, church. Look up here. Thank God that Israel shall be saved.
Amen.
That new generation will be saved. Amen. Amen. As well as all the young people in the world. Hallelujah. Thank God. And it will come to the grace revolution when the church gets healed of her self-righteousness. And all the people said, amen. And give Jesus a praise shout. Hallelujah. Give him glory. Put your hand on your heart and say this real quick. Father in heaven, I am the righteousness of God. In spite of my failures, my sins, my iniquities, I thank you. Your righteousness in me is greater than all my weaknesses. The new man in me is greater than my flesh. The Holy Spirit who indwells me is greater than the devil. I thank you. You are on my side. If you are for me, who can be against me? Not the flu virus. Not financial meltdown. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. My righteousness is from you. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Every head bowed all across this place and the overflow room. You have a rich inheritance. Child of God, you have a rich inheritance. The whole creation is crying out for the manifestation. Not for the sons of God, they are here already, but for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible says, Jesus redeemed us from the law that he might give us the adoption of sons. Where are you, son of God? Sons of God, where are you? It's time for you to manifest. It's time for you to reign in life. I call you forth in Jesus' name. I call you forth to reign in life. I call you forth to reign over disease, over poverty, over all kinds of weaknesses. I call you to reign in life. And God's grace is the only thing that can cause you to reign in life, to reign in infirmities, distresses, difficulties, insults, reproaches. Embrace God's grace. Say, Father, I receive abundance of grace. I receive the gift of righteousness. And those of you who never received Jesus Christ before, perhaps you're just a visitor in our church and you've been here for a few times, but you've never received this gift of righteousness. Don't you think it's time? It's time for you to receive the gift that God is offering. It is free, but it was paid for by Jesus' shed blood at Calvary's cross. If you are that person, wherever you may be, whether it's your first time here or a number of times been here, but you never received that gift, pray this prayer right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, your righteousness. You sent him all the way from heaven to die for my sins and to die for my unrighteousness. I thank you. I receive the robe of righteousness. For I declare, Jesus Christ is my Lord, my righteousness. You raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. Thank you, Father. My sins are forgiven. I am a son of God. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Give him praise. Hallelujah.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
This December, get the Be at Rest, Watch God Do the Rest 3-CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2020 wall calendar.
Walking in the Spirit is resting in Christ. Whatever is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, overcomes the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe they are made righteous by Jesus' blood and not by their performance. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit.
And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will receive an exclusive gift set, which includes Joseph's brand new 4-DVD album, Where is God in the Midst of Your Trouble?
The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the storm. Only one of them asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come. He's the only one that walked on the water. The rest never walked on the water. Why? They didn't ask. You have not because you ask not. Prayer changes things.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Request your copy today at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-901-4300.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan. It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. An elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease, with no hope of recovery, was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind through the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org/newbook today.
I learned about the freedom in grace, it was just amazing for me. I know I'm loved and I know I'm righteous, and that's what people are hungry to hear.
The Lord also led me and opened the door for a jail ministry I do in the city where I'm at. And I've seen guys just get radically transformed through this message.
I had 4 lumps in my breast, 2 in each breast. Under the teachings of Joseph Prince ministry, through the Holy Communion, Jesus healed me.
He's teaching the Word of God. He's teaching the Bible. And I think it's awesome that men and women are coming back to God the way God intended, through the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.